Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at betterleadersbetterschools.com/book. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. This podcast is also a proud member of the Edu Podcast Network, podcasts for educators, podcasts by educators. You can listen to more great education podcasts at edupodcastnetwork.com. I created Better Leaders, Better Schools because I was fed up of not having deep conversations, vulnerable, authentic conversations about school leadership. And that's why you keep coming back week after week. You listen to this podcast as an investment in your own leadership development. If you would like to invest in the production of Better Leaders, Better Schools, I have really good news. It's extremely affordable. $1 or $2 a month will go very far and make a big impact. At $10 a month, I'll send you one of my favorite leadership books every 60 days. To become a patron, it's easy. Just click the link in the show notes, become a patron. Thank you for investing in yourself and thank you for investing in this podcast. Thank you for listening every week. Let's get this show started.
Welcome to the Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast, where school leaders go to find inspiration and learn world-class strategies from top influencers in education. Better Leaders, Better Schools was created by Daniel Bauer.
I would tell myself, and I keep telling myself now, make people a priority. I think sometimes as leaders, we want to try to shine and be perfect and effective in all areas. But I would say make people the priority.
All right, ladies and gents, may I introduce to you Dr. Mark French.
Hello, everyone. Greetings from Minnesota.
Love it. Thank you for being here today on the Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast. Met you through a lead up chat, lead up now. You are an awesome leader, an awesome guy, Mark, and just really excited to connect with you today.
Thank you. Glad to be here. I do my best, and I'm excited to learn from you and other educators, even at the twilight of my career.
Love it. Love that open heart, open ears, open mind. Hey, Mark, what inspired you to pursue a career in education?
It was an opportunity in high school that inspired me to pursue elementary education. One class in high school, we were able to take, allowed us to volunteer and be a mentor back in our elementary school. And I was paired with young, exciting, energetic male fourth grade teacher.
Nice.
And I thought he had the greatest job in the world. So I knew even entering college that I wanted to be an elementary school teacher, thanks to Mr. Bernard.
So what about Mr. Bernard made it attractive though? You said it was the best job in the world, but why was it the best job?
Good question. I think because he was having so much fun. It showed in his personality, in his voice, in activities, and in the relationships that he developed with the students. And they adored him as well. So I think it was that relationship between Mr. Bernard and the fourth grade students that made it especially fun.
How do you infuse fun in the school you currently lead?
I try to remember that I'm the number one role model. As much as we might not like to always think about that, but people are watching us. They are listening to us. So I try to show up with a good attitude. I also try to think like a teacher of a large class. I look at all of the staff members as my classroom of students, and what am I doing to make them feel valued and appreciated and that they enjoy coming to school? How can I meet their needs or help them out? And then also connect with the students, get down to their level, interact with them, get to know how they're doing, spend time in classrooms, be visible out front in the morning, the end of the day. So I try to remember that I need to role model and infuse fun and show that I enjoy coming to work, so that people will carry that spirit through their work.
So getting your mind right, getting your attitude correct before coming to school is integral in what you're sharing. Are there any steps that you take daily? Is there a routine, anything that helps you get in that right frame of mind?
Absolutely. My routine starts early morning. I'm a morning person.
What time?
5 o'clock, 5:30.
Okay.
So I use about an hour or an hour and a half to take care of some tasks. I love participating with social media, Facebook, Twitter, Boxer. So I use that time to kind of recap and read and catch up. I also take care of email messages in the morning so that I don't have to take personal or time with people to do that. So I get prepared in the morning by reading, catching up, looking at my schedule, and just thinking about how I need to organize and spend my day.
Yeah, that's really smart. It's uncanny how many high-level leaders I talk to that get up early in the morning. I consider 5, you know, pretty early, just to develop their consciousness, develop their attitude, clear some things away. And it's so smart what you said, so you don't have to take away time from people, because that relationship building, the challenging conversations that you have to have, that has to be the priority. And like you said, you have to be visible. Well, if you're stuck doing email and office work, you know, during your day, that just doesn't happen. Have you read the book, The Miracle Morning?
I have not, no.
So listeners, and you, Mark, I think you'd really like that, but it definitely is cut from the same cloth as you, just utilizing that time to really maximize, I guess, the impact that you'd have every day. Maybe offline, I'll get your address. I'll send it to you.
That would be great.
Yeah, cool. So that's A Miracle Morning for listeners. You don't have to buy that, Mark. That's a gift from Better Leaders.
Wonderful.
Awesome. So I had to tell a joke. I missed the opportunity, but I'm going to say it anyway since it's my show. I thought you were going to say that you go to Puerto Rico to get your mind right every single year.
I would like to go, but that's a good point. We had a 2-week winter break this year. Our school district finally built a calendar that included a 2-week winter break, and I took advantage of it to take 2 weeks to go to Puerto Rico to relax, rejuvenate, reflect, and think. So those times are important for leaders, even if it's a 1-day break. We have to take care of ourselves first. I have said before, I've got to make sure that I'm a happy, healthy principal so that I can role model and have happy, healthy staff members and students. Yeah, I think it starts with us.
Yeah, and I just had to give you a little hard time. I was jealous. We were texting back and forth over break. 2 years ago, we went to Mexico. It was perfect, Mark. Last year, we went to, this past break, we went to Florida. Should have been perfect. It was like 50 degrees or colder, overcast and rainy the entire time. Why? But it's so important to take those breaks and to take care of yourself. And let's stay there just for a second. How do you, in the busyness of your job, how do you find do you find short little breaks within the day to kind of get recharged? If you do, how do you use that time?
Well, one thing is I am sort of forced to take the time because I have type 2 diabetes.
Okay.
So I am forced to take the time, which means that I need to eat regularly throughout the school day.
Gotcha.
I need to have snacks regularly throughout the school day. I've heard other principal leaders who will comment and say they skip lunch, don't eat lunch, or work through lunch. Ooh, I think that's a mistake. So I have to make the time to get good nutrition. I also take time to count my steps, walk around the building. I got a smartwatch that's helping me. So I recognize that if I'm sitting too much or I'm isolating myself too much, it's time to get out there and interact and visit classrooms and check in with folks. So those are some things that I have to do to take care of myself. And it does help my own attitude and mindfulness.
Gotcha. That's great. Thank you for sharing those tips. Mark, how would you describe your leadership style and how'd you develop it?
Well, it's been developed over 33 years in education and 19 years as a leader, and it keeps developing. I have new goals this year that I didn't have in the past, which they include working on and improving and enhancing communication and also extending my visibility and accessibility, because both those areas I heard from staff last year that I need to develop. So it's hard to define my leadership style because I think I'm always trying to adapt and meet the needs of staff members, but I do try to be present. I do try to be visible. It would be my priority to be out in the building more than taking care of tasks in the office. I think also I'm a principal that kids respond to and have good relationships with. I think that's probably about my style. I think it's really important to know students and connect with students and know their families and their interests and ask those questions. So I think it's just my style would be trying to be present and visible and supportive.
So let's flip it a little bit. I really believe that we learn a lot from our mistakes. What do you consider one of your worst leadership mistakes and what did you learn from it?
I think one of my greatest leadership mistakes, and I still have to keep telling myself about it, is I make assumptions. And that then leads me to think that things are happening that aren't, or that people are happy who aren't. So I've learned to try to ask more questions and connect more personally and to communicate more. I mean, I'll give you one example. We develop a weekly bulletin for our staff, and we have for many years, and it's like everyone else's weekly bulletin, all of the events. Well, I learned from someone this summer that I know more than most people, and I need to be sharing that knowledge because I make the assumption that people are reading the bulletin, they're communicating, they're staying up to date, they're aware, but no, that doesn't happen. So I've developed Mark's Monday morning memo in which I put in more information and more details about district, school, and even personal events just to keep people feeling connected. So, yeah, I've learned don't make the assumption. Ask people, talk to people. I actually think it's better to over-communicate and overshare rather than not to do it enough.
Yeah, that's good. You started the Mark's Monday Morning Memo this year?
This year I did because I learned from another principal over the summer. They did the same thing. I was just adding to the bulletin, but it didn't feel like it was enough. So we still continue to have a bulletin about dates and schedules and opportunities. But Mark's Monday Morning Memo is really information that Mark is sharing and that I'm knowledgeable about, that I want staff to be aware of.
Is the bulletin a hard copy? Teachers get it in their mailbox, or it's posted in the memo and email, or how does that work at your school?
Well, we're trying to be smarter and use technology, so it's a Google Doc.
Okay.
And people can access it. All staff can access it.
Okay.
Mark's Monday Morning Memo, I use S'more to create it. And I actually send that out in an email format with the link to the current Monday Morning Memo.
We've used S'more at our school. I believe it's a paid-for service. Can you share with our listeners really quick what that is in case they want to pick it up? I'll link it up in the show notes.
Sure. It is a paid-for service, but it is an online format in which you can create newsletters, memos. What I like about it is it's very easy to use, very user-friendly. It's attractive, easy to edit, easy to save. You can add photos, download links. So it's a great format in which I can just add the content.
Yeah, and that's the thing. You know, even just in tweets, when you add a picture, it exponentially gets more retweets and likes. So what S'more does, it helps you build, like you said, attractive newsletters. So it's not the same old boring stuff that teachers have probably seen, you know, for the last 1,000 years. So.
Right. Try to make it more interesting. And I work to include student photos and selfies with kids and staff contributions so that it is interesting and attractive.
Awesome. Mark, knowing what you know now, what would you tell yourself as a novice principal?
I would tell myself, and I keep telling myself now, make people a priority. I think sometimes as leaders, we want to try to shine and be perfect and effective in all areas, relationships, instructional leadership, parent relationships, and responding to district initiatives and responsibilities. But I would say make people the priority. Paperwork, tasks can usually wait, and you can always take care of those when people are gone, but you have to make your personal interactions a priority.
Yeah, so I understand the idea of people over tasks. Make them the priority. I understand, you know, try to limit email and office type tasks to time when you're by yourself. But what is it that you actually do with people that communicates your priority to me? Is it just, you know, the fact that you're spending time with them and that that's a finite resource? Or how do you show that priority to people?
Well, you are right. Personal time is important. And I think there's both. I think there's personal time and there's professional time. And I work with 100 adults in the building, and I can't give everyone the same amount of personal time or professional time, but you need to know who needs it. You know who your colleagues are that don't necessarily need that personal interaction and personal touch every day, but you do know who does. You also know who's going through some trying times or some difficult times or some stressful time, and then you have to give them more of your personal time.
That makes sense. Mark, what's a class that we should add to our schools that's currently not taught that you know of? So you can't say any trendy STEM or computer science type class. What would be a class you'd add and it's not being offered in our schools right now?
I would add something about finding your personal passions.
Yes.
And maybe, you know, people try to do that through Genius Hour. They may try to do it through Makerspace, but it doesn't have to be technology based. I would have a class in which people are exploring their personal passions in the arts, in athletics, in mathematics, in technology, in performance. Yeah, I would do that.
So what's a personal passion of yours outside of education?
Well, cooking is a great personal passion.
Okay.
I share my cooking skills with my staff. I've shared it with students and parents as an auction item. They get to bid on Principal French coming over and making dinner.
Seriously?
Yeah. Yep.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I do that once a year. So I've got to interact and cook for families and students in their home. That's a great relationship builder.
That is really cool. Do you buy the groceries too, or they provide that and you just show up and cook?
They bid and their contribution goes to our PTO. I provide all of the groceries and supplies. I even bring my own cooking utensils because I don't want to mess their house up and I don't want to assume that they have the things that I need. Some of the popular themes, I've cooked Thai food, Italian food, Mexican food, American food. Yeah.
That is awesome. Do you have a story of maybe your favorite time cooking for a family?
Every time is my favorite time, but probably the last time I did it, and it was a Mexican theme, but it was a family I had cooked for before. They were the successful bidders in a previous year. So they liked it so much that they had me back. And they had 5 kids that came through my school building.
Wow.
So it was great to see some of their kids who had gone on to college, some that were in high school. So I got to reconnect and hear all of their stories. So that probably was my favorite because I got to see some of my former students.
That is super, Mark. I mean, I get something incredible from every podcast, and I expect to get even, you know, better stuff while we keep taping. But that is such a neat idea. I love that because it benefits the school financially, but even more so that personal connection that you make with the family. And it's so funny, you know, students think that teachers, administrators, staff members, that we don't exist outside of the school. So I can only imagine what it's like that the principal comes into my home and cooks a meal for the family. And just what a great way too to be a servant leader, like literally serving the family and sharing a passion of yours, which is cooking. So better leaders, the listeners, if you can't cook, don't do it.
Right.
Because they always.
Yeah, but it might. You might not be able to cook, but you may be able to play the guitar or play basketball and engage students and families. I just found a way to engage and share my passion of cooking.
And they could afford ordering out too, so if you don't have the skills. But if you have the skills like Mark or whatever that passion is, share it with your families. That is so cool. I love that a lot. And let's pause here for a message from our sponsors. Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at betterleadersbetterschools.com/book. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. You know, I'm just like you. I'm a school leader that wants to get better every single day, and that's why I created a free gift for you called The 15 Questions to Unlock Your Leadership Potential. You can grab it today for free by texting the word UNLOCK NOW to 33444. That's UNLOCK NOW to 33444, and The 15 Questions to Unlock Your Leadership Potential will be delivered straight to your inbox. And now back to our show. Mark, at work, I mean, it's super busy, but how do you avoid distractions and stay focused?
Well, I use technology tools and I use my staff members. I have to live with my Outlook calendar on my laptop and on my phone and then my iPad, because that just manages where I need to be. I also learn through that use of the calendar, it's okay for me to schedule time to do other things. Mm. For example, I can schedule a time to go conduct a teacher observation, but then I block out time right after that to complete the write-up.
Right.
I think we have this idea that, oh, I'll get to it. Oh, I'll find the time. No, you have to make the time. My office staff also knows that if I may have to go in and close the door because I've got a district deadline that I have to meet. They also know that if I am other places in the building and a parent comes in that might be a priority, they know how to sound a building tone and find me. We don't use walkie-talkies. I am totally against walkie-talkies and pagers throughout the school. No. If somebody needs me, I have a tone in the building that I respond to.
I like that.
I have to keep track of myself, and my staff helps me to do that as well.
So that's cool. You've trained yourself to respond to a tone, and you come running. Tell me though, I have to ask. You brought it up. You're so against walkie-talkies. What's the deal with that?
Okay, this is my own personal opinion. It's my own bias. It just feels institutional.
Gotcha.
And punitive. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't like that crackling sound. I don't like the public messages that go around that other people can hear. I would just rather be notified that I'm needed. I hear the tone. I go to the nearest phone and then find out where I need to help.
Gotcha. That's great. How do you balance your work life and family, Mark?
That's also a great question. I have a husband. No kids. I try to pay attention to the time I'm devoting to home and my husband as I do to school. For example, this weekend, we didn't have any commitments, and I knew I needed to enjoy this whole weekend because I've got an upcoming 2 weeks of work that are really busy. So you just have to remember that it ebbs and flows. You might have a busy week, but then you're going to have a slow week. I also don't take work home that I have to attend to, per se, besides just keeping up with my calendar, my schedule, our substitute teacher system, and email messages. That's the work that I'll do. We talked about, you know, being prepared and doing that in the morning so that I can show up and be knowledgeable and ready.
Gotcha. I'm sure communication is key, too, with that ebb and flow and just making sure you're there at home.
Yes, and being present, right. Yeah, we also, it's funny because of my connections on social media, Voxer, Twitter, and such. We do have to sometimes have agreement. It's going to be a technology-free evening. Our devices are down. Our devices are away so that we can actually have good time together.
Yeah, that's so true. How do you want to be remembered as a school leader, Mark?
I would like to be remembered as somebody who helped students be successful, helped staff members feel accomplished, and who generally had fun and enjoyed being a principal.
Wonderful. And I think you, at least, you know, my short interaction with you and through Lead Up Chat and that sort of thing, you're accomplishing that. So I want to encourage you there.
Thank you. Yep, I try. I like to find the fun in most situations.
Awesome. Mark, what's one book every principal should read right now and why?
I'm going to go back to one that actually had influence on me. It's Teach Like a Pirate,
okay,
by Dave Burgess. And I read that a couple years ago, but I continue to bring forward the messages, and which include you have to examine and share your passion and show your passion. You have to make things interesting, fun, and enjoyable. You have to build relationships with others. So if I know many administrators have read Teach Like a Pirate or have shared it, but if you haven't, even if it's directed at teachers, I still gain a lot because I said earlier, I still am a teacher. I have a big class of 100 adults who work in the building.
Mark, if you had to choose a historical figure or a famous person, past or present, who would you love to meet?
I would love to meet President John F. Kennedy. The reason why is just his persona and his personality and his charisma and his leadership. He was inspiring, and it would be amazing to have that a conversation or to meet him.
Absolutely. I think my mom would probably agree with you on that one. She loved JFK.
Uh-huh.
Let me ask you this. You said the calendar is really important. Is there any other type of tech resource that you leverage to be more effective at work?
Video. I try to use video. I do not send out a back to school letter to my staff members. Welcome back. No, I create a back to school video. And I've done it for 9 years.
Wow, nice.
And it again, I think it's more interesting. It can be personal. I've used themes of my summer vacation. I've taken shots and clips all summer long. I've shared another theme has been all the work that's been done to get ready for you, staff members. But I think video is another resource for adults. You can use it for parents to keep them up to date about what's happening in school. And also for kids. I've created videos for kids to engage and to also share a little bit about myself for students.
That's cool. Mark, you surprised me again. 9 years of video messages. You've got a ton of experience doing that. I'm sure you've learned how to perfect or at least improve your system.
Right.
So I know that there's going to be some listeners like, yes, I need to do the video. Teach us, give us a little mini lecture. What goes into a high level video for your students, staff, and community?
Well, I'll talk about my process for the back to school video.
Yeah.
So I will have to edit it and deliver it in August of 2016. So by the time school is finished, I have already identified my theme. And that's what the person has to do first. You need to think about your theme. What is the video going to be about? Because for me, then, I enter the summer, and on my vacation, I have to take video clips and introduce the segment to staff members. So that's number one, plan it out. Number two, I don't use any fancy equipment. We use our handheld video camera. My husband is the photographer. I just have to know in my mind what it is that I want to say and what I want to deliver. And then if you aren't technologically savvy, then find someone who will help you to edit and put it together and add links. I add links to our opening week's schedule. I'll add other links to calendars and such that I can reference in the video. So yeah, you don't have to be the knowledgeable one. You probably just have to be the one with the idea and find those who can help you make it happen.
Gotcha. Do you pay your husband, or does that just come with the territory?
by my cooking. I pay him because I'm the cook.
That's
in
right.
the household.
What about length? How long are these videos?
Oh, that's a great question. I try not to have my back to school video be more than 5 minutes.
Okay.
Yeah. Too long, and it just gets too much for people.
Yeah, yeah.
But I've also used staff members in the past. I visited staff members' homes and taped them and asked them how their summer was going. So you just have to have that creative idea and put it together, because you have to do it all summer long. You can't think, oh, it's the 1st of August. Oh, I better put together my video. Oh, I wonder what I'm going to do. Well, you might have missed some opportunities over the summer.
Yeah, so that just speaks to the intentionality of using your calendar and knowing that August 1 you want to send it out. Well, the work actually starts in April or May, planning the theme, you know, even planning your vacations, right? Remembering to bring both your camera and your husband so you can record it.
Yes.
And then the editing process, because that, I'm sure it used to take longer than it does now. Let's stay there. What do you use to edit the video?
We've used different programs, iMovie. I've also used TouchCast, which is a great video app, very easy to use.
Okay.
Those are the resources that I'm most familiar with and that I've used.
Gotcha. Another one I want to throw out there for the listeners is called ScreenFlow. I'm not sure if TouchCast, iMovie should be free with your Mac when you buy it. Is TouchCast free or is that paid for?
TouchCast is a free application, yes.
Okay, so I'll link that up in the show notes if people want to check it out. The one I'm going to recommend and the one I use is called ScreenFlow. So you do have to pay for that. It's $99, but Mark, I'm not a video editor. This thing is so easy to use, but to add transitions, to add text, to add links, everything you're talking about is just so easy, right? And it's $99. It's, you know, a principal could pay that. So that'll be linked up too if people want to check that out. So 3 to 5 minutes is perfect. Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good amount of time.
Awesome. So Mark, you've made it. Congratulations. We're going to hit this last question. It's a doozy. You're building a school from the ground up. You're not limited by budget. Your only limitation is your imagination. How would you create the school if you're given a blank slate and unlimited resources? What would be your top three priorities building this school?
Well, I'm going to go with three broad priorities here.
Sure.
Number one, get the right people who are going to be in the school. Get the people who develop those positive relationships with students and families, who have that growth mindset, who are willing to try and implement new practices. So number one, the right people. Number two would be the right place. And my school building would have varied learning environments inside and outside. I think we need to use the out of doors for learning, for athletic ability, for nature study. So the inside spaces would be flexible, academics, arts, social interaction. And I think then the third component would be the stuff that goes into it. Comfortable, flexible furniture, spaces that kids could create and be part of. And then also, I'm a big technology user, but that would be a strong component. Technology that will connect your students in school to the world outside your school, and that would allow people to create and to present and showcase their sites. So it'd be the people, the place, and the things.
Mark, thank you so much for being a part of the Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast. Do you have any parting words of advice, and what's the best way to get a hold of you?
The best way to get a hold of me, you can reach me on Twitter. I'm at Principal French. I think the best piece of advice that I would give is you can always do new things. One of the things you and I talked about is my good news call of the day.
Yes, yes.
I learned this summer about a teacher. I was so impressed that this teacher made one positive phone call home every day for someone in their class. And I thought, I'm the principal. I can do that. So I made it my mission this year to find a worthy student. Most of the time, it's something I observed. Sometimes I will ask teachers for some input. But I identify one student, and we go down to my office, and we surprise call their parents, It's the principal calling with your child in the office for something good. They're receiving the good news call of the day. Because I thought, I can find one student a day to share the great things happening. Because I think too often people think the principal is calling, oh, now, oh, no, now what?
Yep.
But it's now the principal is calling, and I want to tell you the great things your child has done. So I've done it 65 times.
Nice.
I tweeted out under the hashtag good news call of the day. I take a selfie with the kids. So I think that, you know, to answer the last question here, you can always find a way to change your practices and do things for the better.
I love that. What's a recent good news call of the day?
On Friday, Kayla got the good news call of the day because her teachers say that she's been a great role model, helping other kids. So she got the good news call of the day. And it is funny because sometimes parents, hi, this is Mr. French. I'm calling. I have your child in the office. And it's,
yeah.
Oh no, it's for something good.
Yeah.
And I have had parents cry. Because they don't hear good things, or this is the first time someone has said something nice. So it's had an impact on me, and it is something that I will continue in my practice.
Yeah, that's so important. You know, shoot, the news is as far as you need to go to find out how negative our communication, our stories are. So I can only imagine picking up the phone as a teacher or receiving a call from a parent, negative news, negative news, negative news. That positive news, I could see how that could move a parent to tears. So I commend you for doing that, Mark. That's a very cool practice you're implementing.
Thank you. Thanks.
So Better Leaders, thank you for investing in yourself today by listening to this podcast. Remember that life is 10% of what happens to you and 90% of how you react to it. Go out there today and be a better leader. Today's podcast was brought to you by Daniel and Mark. Be better starting today by heading over to betterleadersbetterschools.com and type Mark in the search bar, and the show notes page will pop up where you'll get the highlights of today's episode, links to all the resources, and the best way to connect. On most mobile phones, you can tap on the cover art and the show notes page will magically appear. Mark, thank you for sharing your leadership insights and helping the better leaders be better.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Hey, Better Leaders, thank you for joining us on the Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast. Visit us at betterleadersbetterschools.com, a blog and podcast made specifically for you to help you meet your leadership potential. Do you want to be awesome? I know you do. Please leave a 5-star rating and review for us. Click the podcast artwork and long press the show some love link. That'll bring up a page where you can leave a review. This helps the show stay relevant in iTunes and reach a wider audience that wants to become a better leader. If you'd like to connect with me, and I would love to connect with you, there are also links in the show notes. The blog and podcast has an audience in over 100 countries. Connect with me via email, Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, or the website betterleadersbetterschools.com.